The title of the message today is Victory in Jesus Christ. We're going to deal with this topic, Victory in Jesus Christ. Don't you love it when you win? Like it when you're rooting for your team and your team wins. Aren't you happy about that? Aren't you kind of sad when they're defeated? Don't you hate it when you're defeated? It's kind of built into our system, isn't it? Webster has a definition of victory. It's this: the defeat of an enemy in battle or of an antagonist in any contest, a gaining of the superiority in any struggle or competition, conquest, triumph, the opposite of defeat. Everybody say victory. How many of you know Jesus Christ, victory is our victory? This is what we're going to look at today. Jesus' victory is our victory. In the old days when I was young, it wasn't that long ago, I guess. Sometimes I feel like I'm old as dirt. But anyway, I was a youngin', and I was from this, I received the Lord when I was 17, and I was with some people of another church tradition, and they had a little thing they would do. They'd say, they would actually greet each other like this. They said, "Brother, you got the victory?" Have you ever heard of the people that do that? "Brother, you got the victory?" And it's like, I knew what they were saying. I know the intention. The intention was, you know, hey, look, Jesus has helped you overcome some things. Are you still living in that overcoming mode? Is that what they're saying? Go ahead and say to the person next to you, "Do you have the victory? Are you walking in the victory? Are you living in the freedom?" Because that idea is in the Bible. Let's look at Galatians 5:1 says for this. It says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." And so it says, "Stand therefore, stand firm therefore. Do not submit again to the yoke of bondage." So the idea is Bible. It's Bible idea. Stand therefore in the freedom that you've obtained in Christ Jesus, right? Stand therefore. In other words, don't go back. How many of you have slipped up, feel like you got one foot on a bar of soap and the other one on an oil slick when it comes to walking with Jesus? Well, we want to see that changed. We want to see that changed. Today we're going to ask the Lord to do some special things in our hearts and to help us further along. All freedom, spiritual freedom, all freedom, especially spiritual freedom, is obtained by the shedding of blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that we shed upon the cross. And so God's wrath that was intended and is intended for all sin, past, present, future, all of that wrath of God was poured out on this innocent sacrifice. What was intended and is intended for you and I outside of Christ was poured down upon Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice consumed and justified the wrath of God. Aren't you glad that he's happy that that did it? And so then, now, this incredible thing happened. It didn't stop there. The next thing that happened was Jesus died, and then he rose from the dead. Ooh. Now, he'd risen Lazarus. He'd risen a young man that had died and was on his way to be buried. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so he's defeated. Jesus has defeated death. Death has been defeated. Jesus has defeated death itself. In Christ, you don't die. The Bible doesn't even use the term dead for believers. You know what it uses? It uses the word asleep. The Bible uses the term asleep for believers. Why? Because the shell is there, but your spirit and soul are in the presence of the Lord. And it looks like you're asleep. And really, you're asleep. Because you're not dead. You're just over there. But if you have not had your sins forgiven, then you're not over there. You're down there. And death hasn't been defeated for you because you're outside of the grace of Jesus. And if you're outside of the forgiving grace of Jesus because you haven't said, I need you in my life, then you will not go into the blessed place when you die. It will be eternal torment and horrible. Jesus defeated the reason to go there. Hallelujah! He defeated death itself. These are the last days. There are going to be some people that come to the Lord and then just give him the finger and say, the hell with you. I'm going to live for my sins. I'm going to go after it. And those people are called twice dead. Twice dead. They were dead in their sins before and they came to Christ, but then they've rejected him and now they're dead two times and dead eternally. You don't want to be that. You don't want to cling to this world. You don't want to cling to this. This is over so fast. My good, you blink your eye and your kids are like groaning. What happened to me? This is over in a hurry. This is fleeting away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. You have an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. This death that he overthrew in James 1, 24, I believe it's 24, 14. 14, excuse me. Each person, look at this. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You don't even need the devil to pull this off. How many of you know you're pretty much dead in your sins before you know the Lord anyway, right? That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, all of us who were dead in our trespasses and sins now have been made alive in Christ. But look at this. It says, you're lured and enticed by your own desire. And then what happens with that desire? It says the desire, when it is conceived, it gives birth. Little baby sins running around. And then little baby sins start growing up. And they get full grown. And guess what? You're dead. Death. This death. The death that sin does to us is what Jesus came to defeat. Hallelujah. We have victory over death due to our sin in Jesus Christ. Don't play patty cake with it. Don't see how close you can get to the edge before you fall off. The freedom from death. Have you anybody got any shoes called Nikes? Nike? It's a brand. It's from the Greek word, Nikos. It's basically victory, particularly the results of a conquest. This is the term. The results of the conquest of Jesus is our, that's the shoes we're wearing. That's what we're wearing. And the Bible declares, these aren't, there's one of these is on your page, and I'll get to the first fill in the blank in just a second. But Matthew 12, 20 says, I love this. Oh, I love this. This was like a favorite. Elbow somebody, say, here comes one of his favorites right now. Favorites, ready? Matthew 20, verse 12. It's not on there, but listen. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. Until he brings justice to victory. I just love the definition of this because you could go out in your garden and you see a little flower, you know, it's like, and the stem is broken. A bruised, it's bruised. But Jesus, the healing nature of Jesus, he sees the bruise in your heart. He sees the brokenness. He sees when things aren't right. And he doesn't go, like most people, just break it off, toss it. No, no, no. You're not cast aside when it comes to him. He sees the bruise. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The internal pain that you have, Jesus has a remedy, a solution for your heart. I know he's healed so many bruises in my life. How many of you? How many heads are bobbing? Yes. Jesus is the healer of the brokenness. He's healer of it. A bruised reed he will not break off. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. when you're stumbling in your life and you're not full flame and you're not on fire in the Lord? How many of you have really, it's kind of annoying, and have you ever had a candle and it's like got barely an ember in it and it's just pouring smoke out? You know those, you've seen those, there's like, good night, you just want to go, there, that's over with, right? Just put it out. Jesus doesn't do that to you. He sees you and you're little barely a fire in your life, and you're just agitating everybody around you with all of the, without whatever you're putting off. And the Lord sees that, and He says, "He's going to get over there. I'm going to put my breath into your soul. I'm going to cause you to come back to full flame." That's victory in Christ. It's on your paper. 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. Just say this with me. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is incredible. So then they kind of wax poetic and they says, like you're talking to death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? You see, the sting of death is sin. But if Jesus has removed the sin, there's no sting. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. First fill in the blank. The believer doesn't fight for victory, but rather from the victory of Jesus Christ. He doesn't let you come up against death. He defeats death for you. He doesn't say you're going to pay for your sins. He says, I'm going to pay for your sins for you. He says, you don't have to try to live out the life in your own energies and own abilities. I'm going to give my spirit. I'm going to put my spirit in you that'll crave my things. And you'll get a new heart and a new attitude. And you'll begin desiring what I desire. It'll be good for you. And every victory that I am is imparted to you. Oh, man. How many of you need a dose of that right now? Dear Lord. Let's just praise the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord. You are our victory. You are our victory. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Don't get as I said earlier, don't get too tight a grip on the things around you. All victory. All victory, all freedom comes, I mentioned earlier, with a price. It comes with a price. First, our spiritual victory comes with the price of the shedding of Jesus' blood. Did you know our nation, the United States of America, come with the shedding of blood? The liberties have been purchased by the shedding of the blood of men and women who died. And that's what's going on. That's the real victories that are accomplished involve bloodshed. There's a price tag on it. And we can live in this incredibly free nation and yet heap sin upon yourself and not be free and not live in the freedom that Christ has given. And it can break you down pretty bad. Jesus, I know this will tell somebody next to you, the guy's sounding a little depressing to me. I want to hear some good news now. Because sin can get you depressed. Just thinking about your life and the effect of sin on you can really get you down, can't it? You have a verse there, and Luke, on your paper, Luke 5, I think you have 31 and 32. I'm going to start with 29. It says, Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat with and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And this is the verse here. Jesus answered and said, everybody look right real close at this. Listen to Jesus' heart. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Jesus came for the sick sinner. Did you know that? Once you own that, oh baby, once you own that, you are what you really are in His eyes outside of Christ. It's scary. But once you own it, all the privileges of who He is flow into your life. It's a revelation to come to that. It's impossible. Jesus said it's impossible for a rich man, almost impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. You know why? There's no pain. They got comfort. How many of you know pain motivates? How many of you opened up, this is where my life was, I opened up to so many doors to sin that the pain was excruciating. When this particular quote-unquote jolly or whatever gets you off doesn't ever get you off anymore, you got to go to another one. And now you have the damage of this one plus the one you're doing now. And then when this one doesn't do it, you got to go to another one. And this one doesn't do it, you got to go to another. And sin will destroy your life. And Jesus sees all that. That's why he died for us. His passion and heart go out. He says, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. If you're sick, I'm here for you. If you're a sinner, I'm here for you. That's who I'm coming for. I had a song a long time ago. It says, oh, the blood of Jesus purifies the weary, sin-sick soul. Oh, the blood that frees us heals the broken parts and makes us whole. And the load is getting lighter and the day is getting brighter. For God has made my heart a fighter to put to death the bondage of my past and replace it with a freedom that will last. Amen. Jesus stood up that day when he was launching his ministry, and he read a verse out of Luke 18. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He is taken from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 verse 1 is just a little different. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound. For number two on your list, this is it. You qualify for victory in Jesus Christ if you are broke, broken, blind, or bound. Hallelujah. I summarize those verses. Hey, if you're in luck for mercy, you're in luck for grace. You're qualified. You know, there's all kinds of competitions. You got to qualify for them. In golf, you have to qualify before you enter into the big national golfing events. If you don't qualify, you don't. This is how you qualify. He says, I'm not coming for you if you're not broke. If you're not broken, if you're not blind, if you're not bound. This needs to really settle in your heart. This is what the average person does. Well, I'm not as broken as that person. Well, I'm not as blind as they are. They really need Jesus. And then there's those people that say, Jesus is a crutch. No, he's the entire emergency room. I didn't need a crutch. A crutch wouldn't work for me. I needed open heart surgery. I had sin growing like cancer all in me. Come on, somebody get real with yourself. Look in the mirror and see what Jesus sees you as. I want to tell you, it's two things. First of all, it scares your pants off. Because you're lost, miserable, weary, broke, broken, blind, and bound. And then, he sees you with your eternal worth that he created you to be. He sees the very you that he had in mind when it all started. And his plan is that's the release of all the potential. That's why he's come for the broke and the broken and the blind and the bound. Because he sees what you're going to be when he's finished with you. How many of you found that? I'm 63 and he's not finished with me. Oh my God. There's new things that God's beginning to release. New hopes, new challenges, new things that he's beginning. Let's just praise him. The Lord's not done with you. He's not done with you. He's not near done with you. He's just getting started with you. You're just getting started. Today is to build faith in our hearts, to build hope, to build an understanding that the Lord is for you. He's not against you. Dear Lord, if you're miserable, Jesus is your answer. If you're busted up, as they used to say, broke, busted, and disgusted, Jesus is the solution. But if you don't think so, then you'll continue down the road of destruction. Somehow you got to realize this is not working. My life is hell. There are demons living in my house, living in my soul. I'm messed up. I need help. On your back of your paper there, we have a story of formerly, I told somebody this morning, it says, this morning for the message, we're going to fly the formerly blind Bartimaeus from Israel and have him come over and share his testimony. And they came back to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. I don't know about this man too much. There's not like another little story in there on him. But I do know this. There's some things that happen to blind people, and they become dependent. There's things that happen to you when you don't see. And in this room, there are people who become blind because of things they've done, and you don't see. And this is a biblical principles for us to come to Jesus and begin to see. But it's not automatic. There are certain things that are required, certain things it takes. He was sitting there by the roadside, and when he heard that Jesus was coming, he began to cry, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, apparently, I don't know how long he'd been sitting there and if Jesus has come by before. I'm not certain. I got to go look up how many times he went to Jericho. It could have been his first time. But the point is, he heard. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. And somewhere, this blind man heard. He heard that Jesus could do stuff. He heard that he could do miracle stuff. He heard it. He heard it, and it went in. And it went in. And Jesus can do things. You've heard that he can heal. He can create recovery in a person's heart from all kinds of things. Jesus can do that. He can go in. He can do it for you. He's done it for others. Will you be next? You've got to have that word. Go in your heart. What are you dealing with right now? What area of your life is blind? Jesus will cause recovery to that area. What is really, really bugging you in your life? What are you having of difficulty overcoming right now? Jesus has healed somebody else in that very same area. Let that seed of that testimony go in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. And here's a crazy thing. Oh my goodness, the moment he rises up, the moment you can step up and you want something good to happen in your life, and you know God can do it for you, other people try to shut you down. Oh, come on. That's right. I know this is true. If you stop smoking, everybody around you that smokes will give you a cigarette. If you quit drugs, they'll go find some meth for you. They'll go get some. Like crabs in a bucket. When one climbs out, everybody wants to pull it back down. You've got to make up your mind that Jesus can do it for you. Jesus can reach in there and pull you out. You can change. It doesn't matter the nature of your sickness, if it's sin-bound, if it's just genetic. God is here to heal you. That's why Jesus came. He said, "I didn't come for everybody that was healthy. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous. You know the crazy thing about those guys? They thought they were righteous. They were worse off than the other people in the room. When you're self-righteous, you're going to hell. Without Jesus, you got to have God's righteousness. You can't have yours. The Bible says your righteousness is a menstrual cloth. How many women like hold that up and staple that to the wall? No, slough off. Filthy rags. Righteousness, your and my righteousness is filthy rags. Jesus said, I didn't come for that. I came for those who acknowledge that they need a Savior and that are sinners. You got to ask yourself, when the people rise up, when the people around you are not supportive, when they want to make you stop reaching out to Jesus, are you going to be weak-willed and sit down and shut up? Are you going to say, no, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm done with it. What are you going to do inside of your heart? Are you going to say, I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being a sinner. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of giving up. I'm tired of giving over. I'm just tired of what I've done to my life. Bartimaeus sat on the side of the road going, I'm sick of being blind. I'm tired of it. I know he can do it for me. This is the craziest thing. They told him to shut up. He says, you shut up. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, say that. Say that. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Say it. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to speak the word of God to have faith penetrate your heart. If you want to be silent and not reach out to the Lord, then you'll have whatever you've been getting. You won't have the mercy that's provided. Mercy comes, it's an amazing thing. Power, grace comes. I just love this definition. Grace comes and gives you the ability to do what you couldn't do before on your own. But mercy heals all the consequences of what you did wrong. Whew. Oh, man. Jesus is both merciful and grace-filled. And he'll change your life. And Bartimaeus rose up. There'll come a moment. There's a moment that comes when Jesus calls for you. There's a moment. You might be praying for 4 months, 5 months. It could be 3 weeks. It could be a year. But you're dealing with it. You're saying, God, I need this. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. Lord, help me. Oh, God, I need some help. And there will come the moment. The moment will arrive and the encounter will be there and Jesus will look you in the eyes and something will happen in you and you will have the power to change that you didn't have before. He will call you into his presence and give you a word, a hope, a change, a capacity, his ability. It's resurrection power and it only comes to those who go, have mercy on me. You got to cry out for it. You got to want it. And then this crazy thing happens. Blind Bartimaeus hears that Jesus wants to talk to him. He's about to have his moment. And he throws off his cloak. He throws off his cloak and he sprang up and he came to Jesus. We see that. We have no idea what that means. When you're blind, you got to beg. And you got to make a living somehow. And you take your cloak and you lay it down there in front of you. And people toss coins in it. And at the end of the day, you shake it all together and you get those coins. And you put that old dusty robe back on. It's your identity. They see you and they see that robe and they know who you are. It's your identity. Your identity. Your identity. The way you've made your business. The way you've made it. Your identity. Faith rose up in this man. He said, I'm not going to have this identity anymore. He threw down his cloak and he sprang up and went to Jesus. This is always the part where you think, well, you know, Jesus should know what he wants. Jesus should know what he wants. He's blind. Jesus always asks you, what do you want me to do for you? He wants you to hear it. He wants you to know, what is it that you really, really, really want down on the inside of you? What is it that you really want? Because he's going to answer it with himself. What do you want? That's a good question, isn't it? What do you want? What is it do you really want? Let's just all camp there just for a second. What do you want? Is it an area of freedom you desire to walk in? Would you like the Lord to recover something in your life? Because this is what blind Bartimaeus said. Lord, he said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. I tell you, why don't I just go ahead. It's a popular term in addiction programs, but really, truly, recovery is what Jesus came to do. Recover. I'm going to recover what was lost. I want to tell you something. If you've had sex just ongoingly, and you really want your innocence back, Jesus will take all the brokenness out of your soul, cleanse you from the demon powers you opened up to, and you'll be free from that, and he'll give you your innocence back. That's my Jesus. He cleanses you from sexual sins. If you've opened up the door and got something in your system that's really just broken you down, and you cry out to the Lord, I don't know the timing of everybody's thing, but I know this. If you want recovery from what's broken inside of you, you stick with Jesus. He will recover everything and give you the release of the potentials that you were created for, and you will overcome them. Anybody say, thank you, Jesus? Do you want to recover your dignity? How about this? Recover relationships. Some people have damaged relationships so deeply because sin comes, it breaks relationships, it breaks families, it breaks down society, and we're watching it today. It just destroys everything. But Jesus will recover that. He will recover the dignity, he will restore relationships. He'll restore. That's why we're here at City Church. We're here to restore people back into the relationship with Jesus so they can have friendship with God. They can be filled up. They can know the Lord. We don't do everything perfect. We don't have everything going on. But we do have him. And all it takes is one word for his spirit, from his word to get in your heart, and you're on your way. There's a recovery that happens when the word of God explodes inside of you and you have that encounter with him, and you know you can make it because he said so. There's something that God gives us. Nothing else can do it. Isn't that the truth? And then he said this. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Number three, this is amazing. This is amazing. You do participate. It's your will. And it's your faith. Your faith responds when you hear his voice concerning your life. And you rise up and embrace what he says that's a hope to you. And that is your faith that makes you well. It says immediately he recovered his sight, and then he says the key. I didn't see this until this morning. I looked back at it, and it says, and he followed him on his way. The former blind Bartimaeus realized, I'm not just going to get my sight. I'm going to hang out with him. There are people that want what Jesus does, but they don't want him. And those people return to blindness. And those people return to sin. I want God to take away my pain so I can go sin some more. And those people end up burning up. But when you replace that with following him, oh, honey, hush. He becomes, I remember a young man coming down here, had tried drugs for, oh my God. He's in prison now. Roommate OD'd and they blamed it on him. He came down here, he received the Lord, he put his hands up in the air, and the power of God came on him, and he looked at me, and the glory of God filled him. He says, this is the high I was always trying to get. And I said, there ain't no high like the Most High. And he went home and he sat on the bed and he just sat there in the presence of God. He kept worshiping and praising the Lord, worshiping. That was what he was looking for all along. And he's reading his word. He's reading the word of God. He's transformed. He's got a lot of solitary time to read too. But he's soaking it up. He's soaking it up. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful perfume that comes. Look on the back of your paper there. Because victory in Christ, on the back of your notes, there's the bottom verse. It's 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. This is what happens when you band together with believers who have locked on to everything that Jesus can give them. This is the nature of what begins to happen inside of that group. There's a beautiful aroma, a fragrance that begins to rise up out of there. Paul put it this way. He said, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." He wrote another way. He says, God takes you from glory to glory, from one degree of growth and experiencing the reality of who He is to another degree of glory, who leads us in triumphal procession. Now look at these precious words. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Let me explain this. I remember before I received the Lord, I was 17 years old, and there was, in the small southern town that I was in, there was a people in another part of the town having a tent revival. And I went to a church, a traditional church, and I was dead. I was dead. And there were miracles going on over there. And the aroma of Christ was over there. But me, I was dead. I was dead in my sins. It made me scared. It was an aroma that was death to death. Oh, those people are crazy. They're talking about God. It makes me nervous if somebody does a miracle. That can't be real. Scared. And then I come to know the one who does the miracles. He does one on me. And now the people who are seeking Jesus, there's this beautiful aroma. It's life to life. It's a fragrance. You can be sitting in an airport in Hong Kong and go, "Hallelujah!" And all the Christians know there's a believer right over there. Hallelujah. You might say hallelujah. I don't know if you have to say it that way or not. But the point is, it's the universal word for praise in the body of Christ. And you can end up with a prayer meeting in the airport because the aroma of Christ. And there's those that think this very book we have today condemned, because they're condemned already, they say, if you say anything out of it, they feel like you're condemning them. It's really bad out there. But Jesus loves us deeply. Let's lift our heads. Now, tell you what, let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to close. Go ahead and stand with me. Would you do that? Let's stand together. Let's stand together and just ask yourself down inside, have I gotten everything Jesus has for me? Have I gotten everything Jesus has for me? Has there been an area where you've been teetering here or teetering there? And the Lord says, I have something for you. Those are going to be praying, come on up. Let's lift our heads. Wow. Go ahead and lift your head to the Lord, and I'm going to lead us in a repentance. Is that okay? I felt the quicken there. Just repeat this just under your breath there before the Lord. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because of your great love, because of your great mercy, I acknowledge my need for you. And in my heart, knowing the things I have done, I desire what you have done for me. So I repent. I turn from the things that are bad for me. Things that I've done that I'm ashamed of. Now, I just said that. Now, the Lord's going to rinse you of shame right now. Just say, just receive the rinsing. The Lord wants to wash away everything that would be. Lift your hands to Him. Say, the Lord wants to shower down mercies on your soul right now. Shower down. I was talking a minute ago, and somebody, you've had sexual relationships outside of marriage, and you can come down here, and the Lord's going to cleanse you. You just come down, and we'll lead you in prayer, and He'll offload that. But right now, there's a beginning of rinsing from the shame of that event, because Jesus doesn't condemn you. If you've repented, you turn to Him. He wants to see you freed and put a beautiful countenance on your face and restore your innocence once again. The Lord has a blessing for you. A blessing for you. Your depression is going to leave when that happens. It's going to leave. The depression in your life is going to go when He cleanses you of that shame and those soul ties. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to give somebody, whoever it is, that, you know, sometimes when you've opened up using a drug or alcohol or something, there's a craving thing going on. The Lord's going to somehow. I just saw if you turn to Him today, He's going to put His thumb on it and He's going to smash it. He's going to take the craving and snuff it. He's going to do something for you today. Allow the Lord to work in you. We're going to dismiss now. I want to invite you to come forward.
I just want to remind you, loved ones, before you come forward, what Pastor just prayed for some of you. The Lord has forgiven you of those sins and begun to release the shame and the burden of those things. But if you confess that sin to one another, you're healed. A lot of times the reason why we sin is because we need a healing inside. We keep going back to the same thing over and over again, and it's because there's a wound, and the enemy can take that wound. And it's like when you have a bruise and it's healing and somebody slugs you in the same place where you got hurt, all of a sudden it hurts again. And then you wind up in the same situation again. Come and be healed so that you don't have to continually be sucked back into that same pattern because of a lack of healing. So remember, Jesus forgives sin. But as you share that with someone, they can agree with you, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover, Jesus says. So we're here for you for that. No one's going to be talking about your sin. We don't care about your sin. In fact, is we probably have had it all ourselves, been in the same place. This is a safe place. Always feel like you can come down and say, I'm struggling with this. I need help here. Would you agree with me in that? Because that's what we're here for. We love you. Have a blessed day. If you don't need prayer, go fellowship. And if you do, we're here. In Jesus' name, we'll see you next week.
Amen.